Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to the Sheerlux Weekly Highlights Podcast. I'm Georgie Corridge-Cole, and this week I'm joined by Maya Lucky, Astrid Carter, and Laura Wills, founder of the Fashion Bug blog. Vitamin C and the benefits of putting a topical vitamin C onto your skin is something that's had a lot of press recently. Ultimately, it reduces the inflammation, pigmentation, and protects against pollution and helps boost collagen production. So it sounds like it does a lot.
Yeah, I mean, the first time I got excited about it was at our fashion day when Amanda Harrington, the makeup artist, spoke about it and said, actually, you can have all the facials in the world, but this is one of the ingredients you need to spend money on.
Yeah, she did, didn't she? And that's what Dr. Benji Dillon, who we interviewed for this piece, said as well. And the products that he pulled out were the Abaji Vitamin C Serum, which is £64, and the SkinCeuticals Serum, which is £129.
It's expensive, but that SkinCeuticals is kind of the one that all the top skin doctors
and Amanda
about.
Harrington, who sent me to Destination Skin in Fulham, where I've been having some vitamin C peels, it's the brand that they rave about. So clearly, SkinCeuticals is a brand.
I think that you actually use a very little amount, so yes, they are expensive, but they last for a long time.
I've always wondered whether a serum actually does anything, but then when you bring the vitamin C in, to me it makes a bit more sense.
Yes.
And what's your skincare regime, Laura?
So up until about 2 years ago, I just wash my face with water. I keep my skincare routine really, really simple, and I use creme de la mer, which I think it is quite expensive, but you use such a little amount that it lasts again for a really long time. I'm kind of getting more into skincare
now.
You
have got really, from where I'm sitting,
I have very dry skin, and especially since having a child, you are more sleep deprived. So I'm definitely, interested in finding out about anything that kind of helps my skin. So I want to go and try one of these peels that you're...
Yeah, well, I'll keep you posted. I'm two peels down of six, but Amanda Harrington swears by them, and I'm having the vitamin C one, so we'll see what the effects are. Charlotte did a piece on dressing for the office. I mean, we're really lucky. We can kind of wear anything.
Anything,
a floaty dress. But if you work in a slightly more formal corporate environment, then I guess tailoring is still quite important in the summer.
Yeah.
What's your take on tailoring?
So I recently invested in a white blazer from Reiss.
It's really nice, that blazer.
I love white blazers. I was never keen before, I don't know why, and I've just bought this one, and I literally think it goes with everything. I think you can wear kind of wide leg trousers, which looks really cool, but obviously you can wear it to work as well.
Yeah.
And I styled mine with like a little black dress, which was also, it kind of just pulled everything together. I love it. And the thing about tailoring as well is I think you don't need to spend that much. You can obviously go on Net-a-Porter and you can find a really expensive blazer, but my Reiss one is really well cut.
Reiss tailoring is, I've got a black double breasted that I bought last season and I've lived in it. But going back to the white jacket, I also have a white sleeveless blazer, and Trini, who we always talk about, is mad for the sleeveless blazer, but I do think it's so useful, and if you do work in a more formal environment, then it's really nice, and it's a bit more fashion forward.
Yeah.
I think you can wear them in the evening with kind of leather leggings and nothing underneath, or belt them or something.
They're very, very versatile.
And I think what this piece showed was whether you go for a duster jacket, which is another great look, I think, with like a cigarette pant in the summer. Or a shirt dress, which can again still, you can still kind of conform with some of the shirt dresses out there. I think there are options when it comes to being a bit more formal. Let's talk a bit about the Heads Together campaign that Harry, William and Kate have launched. It is a really positive thing for people who suffer with depression. And I actually listened yesterday in preparation for today to the podcast that Harry did with Bryony Gordon.
I've listened to it.
It's really good, isn't it? I mean, How amazing for him to come out and great. Say all of that.
Yeah. I haven't listened to it.
It's really good. It's worth a listen, yeah. And I think what's really nice is that actually you listen to it, and obviously it's a really serious subject, but he really breaks down the walls. Like, it doesn't have a stigma when he's talking about it.
He just makes it so normal.
Yeah. That's it, exactly. That.
Well, and it really should be a normal thing because it's something that, you know, so many people go through. And
yeah.
It really says 1 in 10 experience depression at some point in their lives. I mean, I think it must be more than that.
I was actually quite shocked. Yeah. I thought that was quite low.
You know, I think it's not just depression. It's kind of more than that as well, isn't it? It's anxiety.
Yeah, I actually, it's something that I've never really talked about on my blog because it happened years ago, but approximately 4 years ago, I kind of started having these crazy panic attacks and I didn't really know where they were coming from. I didn't have a reason why I was having panic attacks and it kind of really threw me. And I went to see someone and, you know, I'm very kind of anti-medication, so I didn't want to take anything and I didn't feel depressed. I wasn't depressed, but I was having panic attacks and I was just feeling very anxious. And it got to the point where I was kind of going for, you know, dinners with best friends of mine and I would feel anxious all the time, even at dinners. So I went to see someone. I had this thing called cognitive behavioral therapy, I think it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, actually, what kind of got rid of my anxiety, and, you know, I don't know why it did, but was actually getting pregnant and having Mila. And I guess it just kind of, you know, took the focus away from myself and forced me to focus on something that was really positive. But I think that for me, the most difficult thing was just that it was very isolating because I didn't feel like, you know, anyone could understand what I was going through. And it was, you get all these physical symptoms. And the first time that I had a panic attack, I was in bed with my husband and we'd had a really nice evening. We'd gone to see Cirque du Soleil. And I just kind of, you know, I thought that I was having like a heart attack because you get physical symptoms. But in general, it was just, you know, I think it's so good that there is awareness about it because it's something that so many people go through. And now, having been through it and speaking to people, suddenly there's all these people, you know, coming out.
That's it. You say you felt really lonely and isolated, but actually probably so many people have been through it as well. That's what's so great about this is it's encouraging people to talk about it. And talking is the first step, isn't it? And this article was about, you know, what can you do for people? I mean, obviously you need to go and speak to a doctor. That's the first step. I was talking to someone about this the other day, saying that actually we should be a bit more American. You know, in America, I mean, I'm generalizing, but they say, you know, everyone's got a shrink on kind of speed dial. But like, it's a really positive thing. The process of having somebody that's not going to judge you and you can just be completely honest with, is such a healthy thing. And as I said, I'm not someone who suffered with depression or is that way inclined. But actually, I think I'm someone who would definitely benefit from going once a month and just offloading on somebody. So, you know, as I said, I'm not someone who... It's more serious than that, but how brilliant that everyone's talking about it.
And yeah, and that someone like Harry came out, speaking about it.
I think that's the most important thing. Like, if someone had a broken arm, you wouldn't, you know, ignore it.
Don't want to talk about that,
but just because it's not tangible, you can't see it.
But it is an illness as well, you know, and that's, I think, what some people still don't get, and we are realising now, is it is a proper illness with real debilitating symptoms. And I think that's what, as a society, we have to accept, and what we are doing more and more anyway. Amazing work, and that podcast is well worth a listen if anyone hasn't. We wrote a piece on lunchtime salad hacks, which made me feel really guilty that I don't eat enough salad at lunch.
Me too.
I always eat salad at lunch. I love a salad at lunch.
Actually, everyone here is quite good.
Because we were saying yesterday, it's kind of good and bad that there's not loads of restaurant great eating places around here. So
I get the real guilt when I go to the kitchen at lunchtime and I'm putting my whatever, my bao buns into the microwave that I'm going to lace with soy sauce. And then I see, you know, the amazing concoctions that people are whipping out. I'm like, oh my God, there's a bit more kale and quinoa. And here I am with my Waitrose buns, which are just amazing, by the way.
Shouldn't be hard though these days. I mean, there's so many books out there, you know, with quick recipes, and you can easily
it's just the time. But I'm good in the evening at home, but
for me, for a salad, what I do is I tend to, whatever I've made the night before, I'll turn into a salad the next day.
That's what I do.
Might be like a meat or a cheese or something from my meal the night before.
I know.
Chuck it on a few. It was
Charlotte who I thought had it completely sussed when she said her and her flatmate, they cooked every other night they cook for supper and they always cooked enough for lunch and they took it in turns. I thought that was really good.
Yeah,
that's
really
nice.
Anyway, it's all about being creative, making nice dressings. That's the other thing. Actually, I made a really nice dressing the other day that was an Asian dressing. But, you know, dressing is always like a vinaigrette. But actually, you can completely change the flavour of your salad. You can have the same veg and the same,
definitely.
But just change the dressing and then it's more exciting.
And actually, whenever I buy those pre-made salads, I never use the dressing because they're usually horrible. So, and I just use like chili flakes and a bit of squeeze of lemon and it completely transforms it. It's so much healthier.
Yeah, I've really got into chili flakes. That's what I took away from our wellness day.
Oh, yes.
Less salt. I'm so bad with salt. Salt and soy.
Me too. I love
salt. Same thing, but I got home and I was like, right, supplements, chili flakes. Anyway, what's your regime, Laura? Do you have a regime?
I'm so bad. I grew up in a house where my mother would like cook everything for my brother and I. You know, she made homemade porridge every morning, fruits, she cooked lunch, she cooked dinner. Like, she was incredible. And I am just the worst cook in the world and it's awful. And I do really want to learn because, you know, I want to give Mila that same thing. But, you know, I'm usually in a rush, so I end up having something like an acai bowl or something, you know, really kind of ready-made and easy.
And breakfast, what do you have in the morning?
Usually like an omelette. You know, breakfast I'll always make myself, unless I have a meeting somewhere, but yeah, eggs is like my go-to.
Is it?
Breakfast. Yeah, absolutely.
And so you don't cook dinner? I don't cook dinner for my husband. My mum's friend always says, but what does Jonesy eat for supper? Every time I see her, she says to me, how's Jonesy? What's he eat for supper? I'm like, hello, I actually work too. What about, what do I eat for supper? It really worries her that I don't cook my husband supper. And occasionally he'll say to me, now why don't you cook me some supper? You'd really make Lorraine happy, my mum's friend. So I'm not cooking my husband supper either.
Actually, he's like super husband. He cooks most of the time. But he loves it, you know, it's like his kind of therapeutic thing that he likes to do in the evenings.
Aren't you lucky?
I know.
TV. Are you a TV person, Laura?
Not really, but you know, after... I listen to all your podcasts, but I listened to the first podcast and I'm really not a TV person unless we like binge watch something. And I watched Catastrophe, the whole thing.
Oh, did you?
Yes, and I loved it. It was so fun.
Really? So you'd recommend it?
Absolutely. Like, I think they have such a fun relationship. They kind of bounce off each other. I love that she's Irish, she's American,
it's just such a hilarious
concept that, yeah, they have great chemistry. Yeah.
So Catastrophe, I watched last night The Truth About Sleep, because my PT was telling me, and I was complaining the other day that I'd only had 3 hours sleep. She was like, did you see that sleep documentary? It was really interesting. And he is a doctor who quit being a doctor because he didn't have very good bedside manners. He kind of admitted himself because he was always tired and got cross. And he's now a journalist. And they linked the lack of sleep with obesity and diabetes. I think what they're really saying is when you're tired, you crave sugar. Yeah. Too much sugar leads to obesity and diabetes, I think is what they were saying. But it's interesting how they linked lack of sleep to gut health. On that note, he tried taking something called a prebiotic, and apparently prebiotics now on Amazon have gone from sort of £8 a packet to 60 on the back of this show.
Wow.
But it's something to do with fibre. It's like some kind of fibre that's good for your gut, that helps you sleep. And, I mean, this is a guy that suffered with insomnia for years, and it worked.
Oh, really?
Amazing.
Fairly instantly, or...?
Pretty instantly. And the other thing that worked, they did about 4 tests, was 2 kiwis an hour before you go to bed.
No.
But a guy tested it. A guy tested it and came in and was like, yeah, it worked.
But why?
Yeah, what was the science?
I'm off to my kiwis.
Is it healthy to eat kiwis today? That's the next question.
Who cares? Who cares?
I have to say that earlier this year I did a detox review. Not like a weight loss one, just the kind of overall healthy.
Cleansing.
Exactly. And I don't have trouble sleeping. I'm very lucky. Once in a while I might be worrying about something. Don't sleep, but oh my goodness, eating on this diet for 1 week, my sleep was just amazing. I wake literally like jump out of bed in the morning.
Yeah,
I must have just had the best.
What was in it?
It was all like It was about 80% raw, but just like proper food. I wasn't drinking like just juices for 5 days. Mm. Loads of fibre.
Mainly plant-based.
I started off with a bit of meat, like some grilled chicken, and I think there was prawns on the second day, and then it kind of got more veggie as the week went on. But yeah, maybe it was the fibre.
I think we should do a piece on fibre and sleep.
Yeah.
And do some research into it, because I think that's fascinating. Tor wrote a piece on FODMAPs.
Oh, I'm so excited about this.
Oh, are you? Can you explain FODMAPs to me? Because it says that they're basically healthy ingredients that belong to a group of short-chain carbohydrates, which can cause real digestive issues. And I don't think I have good digestion, so I'm really interested in this, and exacerbate IBS.
So my husband, 3 years ago, he had, for 1 year, or it was maybe even a year and a half, he had like the most chronic stomach pain, and he literally went to every specialist. You know, he had no idea why he was having this pain, and you know, various people said different things, like, why don't you try cutting out fizzy drinks, or, and he kind of had IBS symptoms, and he'd never had it before, and I kind of thought maybe it's something to do with stress, but it went on for such a long time. And he then himself, I think, on the internet, found out about FODMAPs. And basically, it's like certain food groups that, you know, you might think, there's obvious choices like garlic and onion, which, you know, you shouldn't eat, but then there's other things like avocado, cauliflower, sweet potato, and basically by following this, you can look it up online, and there's like a chart of what you can and can't eat. And by following this chart, he literally cut out his stomach pain within 2 weeks. And, you know, now because he knows the reason why he's having the pain, he's kind of a little bit more relaxed about it. And if he really feels like eating something, he will. And then, like, the next day, he'll, you know, not feel so great, but at least he can control it because he knows what he can and can't eat. But I just found it so interesting because, you know, you think that certain foods are so healthy, and he's someone who really, like, takes care of his health. He knows everything about foods, even before finding out about FODMAPs. But he just had no idea why it was happening.
Fascinating. I mean, it says here as well that high FODMAP foods are the ones that produce the most fermentation.
Yeah.
And can cause SEDS. Because you think, what the hell can onion do?
But then it's so confusing, because under those foods that you shouldn't eat, there's things like sauerkraut and fermented foods. And then on the flip side, so many health nutritionists and etc. are telling you you need to eat those for the gut health, etc.
But I suppose if you're somebody that is susceptible or has IBS type symptoms, it says here that eating these kinds of foods that are easily fermented by gut bacteria and badly absorbed in the gut, but if you eat those, they can cause gas, pain, diarrhea and other symptoms of IBS if you're someone who's particularly sensitive. So I suppose, yeah, agreed, I think fermented food is really good for you, but if you have any of those symptoms, then it's definitely something to look into.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Best budget shampoos. I asked Tor to write this piece because I really don't want to spend loads of money on my shampoo.
Me neither.
I know that we should. I do get it, by the way. And we did something with KMS recently, who are a great hair brand. They've just rebranded. And I think their products are amazing. But I still don't really want to spend £30 on a shampoo, if I'm honest.
I use the L'Oreal Elvive colour I've used for 6 years, probably. It's, what is it, £2.50 to £3?
Yeah, £2.50.
And I honestly, I've never spent money on a shampoo.
I think that's amazing. £2.50.
It does the job. It smells good. It cleans my hair. You know, it does actually make the colour look nice. I think it's amazing.
So refreshing to hear, like, the senior colourist at Hersheyson's recommending that shampoo that you just recommended, and it's a £2.50 L'Oreal. I always thought L'Oreal shampoos weren't supposed to be that great, but there are someone else as well, the senior stylist at Neville. I mean, Neville is where Kate Middleton gets her hair done, isn't it? And again, that's £2.99, so how refreshing. I thought this was a brilliant piece.
Me too. There's, like, some of these in the piece I literally, like, would never touch in the supermarket.
I know.
So it's really nice to see proper professionals really recommending them.
This one as well, the Garnier Ultimate Blend Strength Restorer Shampoo. So that's £4.49, that's a bit more. But the stylist that we are said, this affordable brand gets my vote every time. The whole range has been very cleverly thought out and labelled, making it easy to choose the right formula for your hair. And that one is supposed to be very good. The other one is the Touch of Silver. And Tor, our beauty editor, she uses a silver shampoo, doesn't she?
Yeah, I do.
It supposed to be?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage,
Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To do?
It takes out the brassy tones if you're blonde. It'll take out the... Is that right?
Yeah. It neutralises the brassy tone.
If you've just got a little bit of colour like me, it works for that as well.
Yeah, it says it has an active violet pigment. So be sure not to leave it on too long. But that's from the creative director at Harry's. And that's £2.09, to be precise.
Yeah, I'm going to go buy this shampoo because of this.
Me too.
I buy the John Frieda one, which is probably twice as expensive.
Yeah, me too. I mean, what a brilliant piece. So there you go. Not everything's expensive. We did a piece on Oysho. Do you know Oysho?
I do. I actually found it on ASOS. I don't know if ASOS still stock it, but
they did
a couple of years ago.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
And it wasn't... But I had no idea that it was the sister brand of Zara.
There are so many brands from that group now. What is it? Uterk, Stradivarius, Oysho.
And it's massive in Spain. I went to Barcelona recently and there's like a massive Oysho shop in the airport.
Well, we kept featuring it and I kept seeing these pieces in the file thinking, who is this brand? And then it kept cropping up. And I was like, right, I need to see who Oysho is. But it seems that recently they've really branched out into more than just lingerie. Because it started off as mainly lingerie, right?
Started out lingerie, beachwear.
They do like activewear now.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they had like loads of kind of sports clothing.
Yeah, but now they're kind of doing a bit of everything and some really lovely summer pieces.
Really nice.
I think it's
and just
great
so
though that
reasonable.
It's so, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's
so reasonable.
Thing. It's so well priced.
Yeah, little jumpsuits and little
off the shoulders
which we're still loving, and ruffles, and such a gorgeous red gingham check bandeau bikini, which was $19.99. I just think it's so cool, and sort of backless espadrilles. Anyway, it's so one to check out. And actually, I saw a mum at my son's nursery the other day, and she was like, you keep costing me loads of money. I've just ordered loads of stuff from Oysho. I was like, I know, isn't it brilliant? So,
there
we go.
Brand.
So it was the CEW Awards, I think it was last week. The CEW Awards, I don't know if you know them, Nora, but they're the Cosmetic Executive Women Awards.
Okay.
And my first job was at Coty Beauty, and I remember then, that was, I don't know, over a decade ago, what a big deal the CEW Awards were in the industry. So they're kind of like the biggest and hottest industry awards. And I think, for me, there are a lot of awards around. There are a few that I think are ones I always take note of, like Sunday Times, I'm always really interested, Sunday Times Style, and the CEW. Is there anything in here that you looked at and thought, I use those products, or that's really interesting, anything that stood out for you?
I did, and it was the, I think it's a Max Factor mascara.
Yes.
So a little bit like with shampoo, mascara is just something that, you know, I honestly think that you can spend... I don't even know how much it is. Like
£11.99.
I honestly think you can spend, you know, £10 on a mascara. I always think the cheaper mascaras are better. I like to have like a bit of a volume lash, and I've tried so many different mascaras, and I have one from MAC that I quite like, but I honestly think the, you know, Max Factor, I always go to Boots and I stock up on like my Max Factor mascara because it does such a good job, and I think you really don't need to spend money on certain makeup products.
I agree.
Although that one was Best Budget Beauty and Best Investment Beauty was Charlotte Tilbury's.
I saw that,
Legendary Lashes. I mean, it's £25, but I have used that. I think it is really good.
I also quite like Bio Oil. It's been around for years, and I'm someone who likes to use oil on my skin. I don't know if it has health benefits or not, but I have very dry skin, and I just think, you know, it's a well-priced...
I've never used it, actually.
Really good for scars.
Yeah.
Scars.
The other thing that's supposed to be really good is the coffee beans scrub.
Yeah, I like seeing that in here. They've been around for a while on like the likes of Instagram. I think they came from like Australia, the whole trend of using coffee beans to scrub with. And initially I thought, oh, is this a fad? Like, it's not going to work. But it's amazing if you've got eczema or skin problems.
Really?
To use an all-over body scrub, it's great. It's cleared my skin up tremendously.
Actually, now you say that, I remember there being a product like this on Dragon's Den.
Dragon's Den, yes.
Wasn't this one?
Don't use this brand now.
And they were raving about the benefits for eczema. How interesting.
Yeah. It's really good because I have really bad eczema.
Because I would have thought that... Have you there? Because Coco's just started getting it on her elbow.
Yeah,
sure.
Mila has it.
I'm
kind of scared to use it on a baby, though. But.
Yeah, I would be too, but I just would have thought rubbing something grainy on eczema was like the worst thing that you could do.
Scratching, obviously, is terrible for eczema because you break the skin and cause scarring. Like you can see in some of my places, I'm quite shiny because of it. This is a much more gentler way because it actually, as the water wets the coffee, it almost dissolves. So you're not like madly scrubbing.
Okay.
To the point of pain. Like, it is just a nice, gentle exfoliator.
I've never tried a coffee bean scrub. I think
I should.
Imagine they make such a mess.
Yeah, they do. You have to seriously hose down the shower afterwards.
I just ordered that Charlotte Tilbury mask that Holly was really
Will you let us know what you think? Yeah. Well, Charlotte Tilbury obviously cleaned up at the CEW Awards, and rightly so. Also, Aromatherapy Associates. I mean, I love that brand, and I think if you want something kind of spa-like at home, it's lovely. Anyway, their bath and shower oil won an award, and so did Marks and Spencer's for the Rosie for Autograph Amazing Radiance Cream, £18, and that won Best New Makeup Base, which to me sounded a bit like the Victoria Beckham one. What's it called? What's her product?
I can't remember what it's called, but yeah.
Like Silver Tube.
Sounds very similar, but for a fraction of the price.
Yeah, it said it delivers a natural dewy glow and adds instant radiance to the skin. I mean, to me, that sounded exactly like what hers did. But people do actually really rave about Marks & Spencer's Beauty, which takes me neatly on to their Ultimate Sleep Cream, which has got a waiting list of 8,000.
That's crazy.
That's nuts, isn't it?
And have you seen some of the reviews on the website?
They're amazing.
It's like 4.8 out of 5, I think.
It says the cream came up trumps in consumer trials, with 71% of women agreeing their skin appeared transformed after just 2 weeks, which suggests many of them agree with the claim it makes you look like you've had 8 hours sleep when you haven't. God, I need that.
I don't actually know what's in it to have these effects, but yeah, people are raving about it.
Have any of you tried it?
No.
I haven't, but I went on this morning to Marks & Spencer's ahead of this, and I managed to add it to my basket.
Amazing.
I think it's back in stock.
Oh God, Mara, I hope it's still there when we're finished. We'll hurry up. But anyway, India Knight, she said it's a best kept secret and have given her a brand new face after a week. So you wake up matte but super soft with a tautness to the skin that's seriously pleasing. She is someone I don't think would be forced.
Saying it for the... Yeah.
Yeah, no. I feel like she's pretty credible.
Yeah.
It does sound amazing, right? It's £22. I think it's worth trying. Mike, can you add two to your basket and I'll transfer your money, please? We wrote a piece on cauliflower rice. Do you eat cauliflower rice, Laura?
I actually did try once. I think it was the Londoner. She used to do these kind of cooking. She did recipes.
Oh, did she?
And she did these yogurt brownies, which were amazing. They were actually amazing. And
tell me
she
you didn't
did...
have cauliflower rice.
I did. No, not that. Not together. But it was like an egg fried rice, I think, but with cauliflower.
Yes.
And it was really good. It was really
delicious.
That's
when it works, I think.
Yeah.
I do too. Laura raves about a cauliflower fried rice, and I think it's really good.
Yeah.
But actually, other stuff.
When it's just meant to be kind of like a substitute for boiled rice, it
then
just is
boring,
a bit mushy.
Yeah.
You just have to mix it in and get the flavours in, otherwise it just doesn't taste very
nice. You just need all
that.
But the egg fried rice, I really think you don't... I mean, obviously you know it's not rice, but it's a really good alternative.
It is tasty. You need to put an egg in. And
yeah, definitely.
Soy.
Salt.
Yeah. We wrote a piece on gratitude and why gratitude will make you happy.
I actually do every evening. It sounds really silly, but every single evening for about 2 years, I kind of say to the universe like 3 things that I'm grateful for. And I really do think there's so much negativity these days, and I think just like
good
going
for
to
you.
Bed
yeah.
and being grateful, and it can be anything. You know, obviously I'm like super grateful for my family, but it can be, you know, a stranger saying a nice compliment to you, or a nice walk that you had, and I do think you have to kind of appreciate the little things in life, and you know, there's so much, especially with social media, people are kind of focused on what they don't have and a lot of negativity. So I think if you kind of every day remind yourself of all the things that you're grateful for, I think it can make you a happier person. And
that's so refreshing. But I think it's interesting because I've always been fascinated by Buddhism, and the whole basis of Buddhism is around the fact that we're never happy because we're always wanting.
More, yeah, we're
and
always.
It's so true, isn't it? And you yeah. think, you know, I'll be happy if I just earn this much money, or I live in this house, or I own a house,
but
or
I
go on that holiday, or whatever.
Always want more, whatever and, you, know, you. Yeah,
but
yeah.
sometimes you just have to stop and be grateful. And God, things happen like they happen in Manchester, and yeah God, it makes you think. Anyway, it said, how do you practice it? You don't need to sit or chant. Just keep a 5-minute daily journal. You even need to write it down. As you said, just, I don't know, just sometimes trying to have a moment and just say, actually.
I mean, it literally takes like 10 seconds in the evening before you go to sleep. Or I think you can meditate as well.
And there are all these journals out now, you know, like the little diaries that encourage you to write a note at the end of the day.
So there is a happiness journal,
isn't
there?
Yeah, it's called the happiness journal, yeah. So that I think it's quite achievable to do. And the effects it probably does have on know your well-being, happiness, sleep, health.
Yeah.
And it says in this piece it can also enhance your career, so it doesn't make you unambitious.
Enhance your career and enhance your relationship, I think. It's,
yeah.
You know, you're so quick to argue nitpick and complain about things on the floor or whatever it is, but actually talking about the good things you feel, got to be positive.
Yeah.
Mismatched earrings. How do you feel about those? Laura is wearing the most incredible, are they sorry jewellery?
They are, yeah.
They're amazing earrings, wow.
I don't wear a lot of jewellery brands, but I genuinely, and I never wear anything that, you know, I don't love, but I love sorry. I think it's such a cool brand.
Yeah, it is. We featured them years ago, actually. I remember they do lovely rings, don't they? How do you feel about mismatched earrings? Because Lulu, do you remember Lulu De Cesar was our fashion day?
She's very cool.
She's completely...
Love her Instagram. Yeah. I'm not yet sold on mismatched earrings.
I think when they're sort of battered gold and one's a hollow hoop and one's a filled hoop or something, they can look quite cool. Mm. This piece was more about...
Studs.
Yeah. And obviously there's been such a trend for piercings in the last few years. And we were laughing yesterday because... A friend of mine who's... She's like, I'm thinking of getting another piercing. What do you think? I was like, no, too tacky. Don't do it.
It's
and
so
now I'm like, oh, I was wrong. I think it's quite a good look now.
So funny you say that. I actually, at Christmas, me and my dad bought my mum, as a Christmas present, sorry, to re-pierce her normal lobe ear. And then I took her just now to go a couple of weeks ago. She's like, oh, I'm going to get a second hole.
Did she?
And I was like... She got one.
That's amazing.
She left going, I'm going to have a little gold stud and a star, I think. I was like, oh my God, have you been reading Sheer Love?
So we wrote a piece on Sarah in London, who make the most incredible jumpsuits. I know you're a fan, Laura.
Yeah. I have one of her jumpsuits, a blue and white one with long sleeves and kind of a low back. And what I love about the jumpsuits is that you can wear them as a wedding guest. I actually said recently on your Sherlock's kind of wedding guest what to wear that a jumpsuit's a great alternative. But also she's now started bridal service, which I think is so cool. If I got remarried now, I would wear for the registry 100% a jumpsuit.
Mm.
But what I love about Saren is the fact that she has four different styles, and then she has four different prints, and you can kind of get whatever style and whatever print.
We love the... Have you seen the pink and green?
Yes.
Which is just so gorgeous. Pretty, isn't it?
They're quite expensive.
They are expensive.
But when you feel the fabric, the silk is incredible, and the cut is... It's so flattering.
We wrote a guide to endometriosis. I don't know much about endometriosis, but I was kind of staggered to read that it affects 176 million worldwide, and that... It causes real pain for so many women.
Yeah, and it goes really undiagnosed as well because not a lot of people know about it. But it's basically caused when the lining of the uterus is on the outside. So then when you have a period, the tissue swells up, bleeds, the blood can't escape, and that causes scarring. And then over time,
and
that
real
becomes
intense
more
pain.
And more painful. Yes, exactly. And it affects a lot of women, and it's extremely painful.
Doesn't it affect fertility as well?
It can do, yeah. It can make it harder to get pregnant because of the scarring. I don't think it affects you if you are pregnant.
Yes, that's what it said.
Yeah.
It doesn't always, but yeah, it can do.
Isn't it crazy that if so many people are affected by it, that it's, you know...
I think you have to have an operation to
to determine it,
so it's actually fairly expensive for the NHS to do.
What, to find out if you've got it? They operate on you?
Yeah. It's keyhole.
Oh, I see.
So it's quite expensive, that's why they're not willing to give everyone the test.
An estimated 2 million women in the UK are affected.
Yeah.
The majority being between the ages of 25 and 40. And if your mother or sister has it, then you're more likely to suffer too. So, good, worth investigating, but it sounds like it's quite hard to be taken. You've been successful in a pretty short period of time, in a time when someone might say becoming a blogger, influencer, Instagrammer, you know, that moment's passed and you've missed the boat. I think you've proven that you haven't. You were quite late to it. When we first came across you, you probably had, I don't know, 5, 6, 7,000 followers. You've now got maybe 20,000. How's that happened? What have you done to make that happen?
So I think it's happened very organically, but I think that the main thing for me is to kind of stay engaged with my followers. I communicate with my followers all the time. I try to reply to everyone. People send me emails or direct messages, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. So I do try and stay very engaged. But I also think that it's about investing time in kind of looking at your Instagram and your blog as a whole and seeing how it looks when it's all put together. And for me, I'm quite OCD about things, so I really like it to have a kind of clean look. And I sometimes still...
It really does. I mean, I think...
Oh, thank you.
I think that really stands out, not that way,
but I do think that it's worth kind of really spending time on that.
Yeah, I think that's... From where I'm standing, I think that's really paid off. There's a real look and identity to your images, and I think that's probably a big part of...
I guess it's a way of building a brand.
Exactly.
Yeah. Say. It's an Instagram brand.
And how do you choose your outfits?
So especially since having a child, I do plan. So I like to spend like a little bit of time on a Sunday evening kind of planning for the week ahead. But obviously, you know, the weather isn't always...
With the BBC
we
weather
app.
And do you have any style rules? Style don'ts? Style do's?
Not really. I mean, I honestly don't. I like to experiment and, you know, you don't always get it right. But I just kind of go with my gut.
And any brands at the moment, and we talked about Sarah, and any other brands, slightly under the radar brands, that you're prepared to share with us?
It's really not under the radar, but I love Needle and Thread, especially kind of going into the summer and going into wedding season. I went to their press day recently, and I just think they have such beautiful pieces, and they're kind of... on the more affordable side. I wore one of their long embellished dresses when I was on holiday in Oman.
I saw that picture. That was pretty cool, that picture.
They're just so stunning.
Did you wear that to dinner?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you feel like...
So glamorous.
Yeah.
It was. I mean, most of the time I wasn't wearing things like that. But I did, again, like I said about date night,
good
I love to
though.
Get dressed up and kind of really make an effort.
It was amazing.
Although, like, walking
stunning
in
dress.
Sand and in my long dress wasn't easier.
And any trends that you love this season in particular?
So I love mules at the moment, and I know that they're not kind of the easiest shoes for, or, you know, some people are a bit scared of mules. But I bought recently a pair from Topshop that are black, and they were £24, I think. And I also have like a Dusty Rose pair from Appieti. Which is a great affordable
it
shoe
is
brand.
A great brand, isn't it? And they've just collaborated with Ray Feather.
Yes, and
there's
they
some
have
really
amazing
cool
sandals and also like the monogram ones, you can get your initials.
Yeah, they're fab, aren't they?
But yeah, I think mules, I again never worn them before, and I was kind of a bit skeptical, but I think they're so cool. You can wear them with dresses and skirts and jeans, and yeah, that would be my one style tip for the summer months. And
brilliant.
They're comfortable. They have a block heel, super comfy.
Yeah, they are really comfy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm off to check out the Appieti range. Laura, thank you. It's been so great to have you.
Thank you so
we
much
love
for having
following
me.
You and bring on the next 10,000 followers. That's it for this week. If you have any comments, feedback, or questions, then do email podcast@sheerlarks.com. And if you enjoy that, please subscribe via iTunes. See you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.